Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Locked where they were for fear of the Jews, soldiers from the chief priests and scribes could find them at any moment. They could be dragged out to the Gabbatha, the stone pavement before Pilate. He could sentence them to the same fate as Jesus, as insurrectionists, traitors, terrorists. They could be beaten, mocked, killed. They were scared. 11 followers of the supposed Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. 10 that first night. Grown men who were experienced in their previous lines of work. They had been taught by Jesus of Nazareth for the past 3 years. He was gone now. Their women had said they saw Jesus alive. Peter and John, 2 of the 12, had seen the tomb empty. They saw it with their own eyes. What could it all mean? That first Easter Sunday, that first night, how could an empty tomb save them now? The 10 remaining disciples in that room on that first night were still wanted men. Peter had escaped scrutiny as one of the apostles of Jesus by denying 3 times that he knew the man. That would only last for so long. At some point, the gig would be up. Hiding would not work forever. In the middle of their terror, their trepidation over what to do next and what would come next, right in the middle of their secured room, as best as they could be as men here on earth, the resurrected Jesus stood in the middle of them. The 10 men knew exactly who it was. They knew him the moment they saw him. They recognized him with their own earthly eyes, which they could not believe. But then their ears were tested too, with that voice those men had heard speak to them and to the crowds numerous times before. The words came forth from newly resurrected lips. Peace be with you. The last time Jesus had seen them was before he was crucified. They fled from him in the garden on that Thursday night. They abandoned their friend, their master, their teacher, their Rabboni. And a congenial greeting was the last thing they expected. Peace be with you. All is well between us. I am not here to hurt you. I am not here to chastise you or to punish you. I am not here to turn you over to the authorities. I am here for you. To give you peace. I want you to know that all is right now between God and man. Remember the stories of the angels who appeared at Jesus' birth? Remember their message? Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. With that word of peace came an illustration, an object lesson, a visual aid. He showed them his hands and his side. What they saw in his hands and in his side reminded them of their cause, the cause of their peace with God and with Jesus. Holes where the nails had slid through his flesh, the gash in his side, where the spear had entered to pierce his heart. Marks of the cross, the sign of peace. One of the remaining 11 was not there. Thomas. Doubting Thomas, unbelieving Thomas, whatever it is you wish to call him. Didymus, by the way, means twin, not doubting. That Thomas was not there, and he did not believe the resurrection. He did not believe that Jesus, whom he knew was dead, could be alive. And Thomas would not be satisfied with the words of witnesses, even from those men, those other 10 gathered around who had become like brothers to him in the last 3 years. The disciple that we match up with so well spoke just like we would if we had been there. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Don't doubt that for a moment. You would want to see it too. You would not take the word of those other men as gospel truth. Thomas needed proof. He wanted to see it with his own eyes, to feel it with his own two hands, and I would too. These things did Thomas count as real: the warmth of blood, the chill of steel, the grain of wood, the heft of stone, the last frail twitch of flesh and bone. His reasoned certainties denied that one could live when one had died, until his fingers read like braille the markings of the spear and nail. Peace be with you, Thomas. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand out and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Once again, the word of peace is accompanied by a picture, a sign. Thomas got to see the nail-wounded hands of Jesus. He got to insert his fingers into the spear-pierced side of the Lord. Thomas and all of the disciples of Jesus got a full dose of peace, the peace of Christ, as they beheld the marks of the cross. Peace in Christ Jesus that flows forth from his cross. The concept of peace with God is one of the most important in all of the Scriptures. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that peace is so truly needed because sinners by their nature are at war with God, launching all attacks against Him and His law, with our own hands hovering over the button to launch the nuclear attack against our Creator. We are His enemies, His opponents, and enemies do not, by their nature, have peace with each other. In order for there to be peace, an agreement must be made, a truce must be met. And you and I played no part whatsoever in that peacemaking process. It was all God's doing, all on His behalf, with all power and all authority, He chose to show forth His love and to bypass any punishment you and I deserve for our sin by putting it on the one who did make peace with God for us, the true truce winner between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the peace offering given to God, given by God, as foreshadowed by all of the peace offerings and all of the offerings brought before God throughout the Old Testament. And that peace of God was heard of regularly throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, all throughout the Old Testament time, by the people in those days as it concluded their worship each and every holy Sabbath day. The same words that we hear first from the holy first chief priest, the high priest, Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The prayer for peace permeates completely the Kyrie of our own service. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, for the peace of the whole world. The giving of the peace from the Lord comes right after the words of institution are spoken. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And at each communion table, following reception of that holy board, you are dismissed with those words, "Depart in peace." Specifically, those words of peace, spoken at each table at communion, and to the entire congregation in the benediction at the end of the service, in those words, the visible sign of the cross are included. Just like the disciples of Jesus were given the physical reminder of God's peace in Jesus, so you are given the same sign. The cross is given to you as the sign of peace that you now have with God. The disciples of Jesus were not removed from a hostile situation. They were continued on under the threat of attack and persecution all the way to the end of their lives, many of whom were martyred, killed for the faith. And they were willing to do that. Willing to suffer and die for the sake of Jesus. But what changed from those men in the locked upper room to those men with their necks on the line? The answer is peace. They were given the peace of Christ, won by Him on the cross, and they received it. They believed it was theirs. For it was. That peace allowed them to be content, even joyful, in the midst of suffering, of stress, of death. And Christ Jesus gives that same peace to you. Your situations of struggle and stress, they're not removed from you. You continue on in your own sinfulness and you suffer the effects of a corrupted, broken world. And while Jesus does not take you away from those things or take them away from you, He will, though, on the last day. Jesus does give you peace. Peace that perseveres throughout all of those times. He gives that peace that the world cannot give, which the world can only give by taking away the struggles. Jesus gives you peace unlike any other. He shows you the mark of His cross, the sign that full payment for sin has been made, that God has dropped his weapons of attack against sinners. He has placed them all on Jesus. And so through faith in Jesus, through faith alone in Jesus, God and man are no longer at war. Peace is now the norm for you and for me. Even though the world, the devil, and our sinful nature fight like the dickens against it. But you do not lose heart, for Christ has overcome the world. He comes to you in word and sacrament, simple means that the world mocks and laughs at. But you know that gives you peace to assure you that Christ is for you. And Jesus shows you his cross yet again to certify for you, to verify, to make you sure that you are at peace with God. And that peace, it passes all understanding. It guards and keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. That is the peace Christ has for you. Peace, then, be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.